Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And it's always a joy to be in the studio with my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. In the last program, you were going over the story of a modern-day example of Colonel Sanders. You told us the Colonel Sanders story, fascinating story. And then you took us to Luke 12 to show us the Bible parallel of a man who was very much like Colonel Sanders, who lived his entire life basically without giving a thought to God. He was not rich toward God. And we ended the broadcast by really looking at what it meant to have a healthy eye toward God. And oftentimes our possessions, our approach to our things, reveals really what's going on in our heart. And that was the whole Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But I know that you recently had a painful experience, but yet a wonderful experience that was a direct contrast to the Colonel Sanders story. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it in the broadcast, and I think it would be really good to maybe talk about that a little bit. I know some of our listeners were at family camp during the event that took place, and I know their lives are greatly impacted. I know we had some folks at Brookside that were there, and their lives are greatly impacted by this gentleman.
Well, let me first add that Colonel Sanders, while we used him as an example of Luke chapter 12, he did share with me joyfully the fact that he had accepted Christ at the age of 82 years old, and God did give him another 10 years to live for the Lord. But he lived with that regret.
Yes.
That is, when he kept telling me, I wasted my life, he was just saying, why did I not make the decision sooner? But thank the Lord
that he did make
it. We don't want to leave the impression that Colonel Sanders went into eternity with this kind of a mentality, because I believe he really, really switched his whole priorities and focus, which was a joy. He was a joy to fellowship with.
And you know, that's a good reminder. Maybe we got to put a little statement in here. There may be some of our listeners who are in their retirement years who are saying, man, I wish I'd have heard some of this stuff when I was 30. It's never too late.
Oh, no.
Never too late.
No, never too late. In fact, some who finally come to acknowledge their need. They're during their pregnancy, before the birth.
Yes.
Their circumstances, the conviction, the preparation of the heart. And soon they're going to come to realize that their need for Christ.
Right.
And really, really experience that new birth.
Yes. Amen.
On family camp, it's a month ago now, where Charlene and I were doing a camp with Dr. and Mrs. Olson. And there was a family from South Carolina, the Pegram family, Dennis and Ina, and their 9 children.
They had a lot of kids.
3 of the children worked at camp this summer.
Right.
And they're just a joy. I mean, it was just a joy watching the family. And, of course, the oldest son directed all of our music, and the others worked within other programs of the camp. So they, for the second year in a row, decided to come up for their family camp and make it their family vacation. Dennis was a business administrator, but had a real heart for God. And I noticed on Tuesday morning, Dennis came and talked to me, because I was dealing with the focus for our lives. In fact, I had started a study on Habakkuk about the wrestling that Habakkuk had gone through in his heart regarding how long was God going to tolerate evil, and how long would things go on the way they were going on. And then the other topics that would cover practical areas of family relations. And Dennis came to me and said, you know, there are some unsaved people here at camp.
Huh.
There were 2 unsaved men.
Is that unusual, Doc, for there to be unsaved people at a family camp?
Not necessarily. I think a lot of times the wife will invite the husband and vice versa. They will come, but I was not aware of those in that circumstance. One wife invited her husband to come, and he said, this is not my idea of a family vacation. But because he wanted to be a part of a family activity, he came, but he really did not have a heart for what was happening. But Dennis
reached out to him,
reached into his heart, and began talking to him individually about his soul. Then he brought the man to my attention and said, you need to be aware that there are some unsaved men here at camp. Then again he came and said, there is a policeman and his wife here from Illinois who are not Christians, invited by a sister and brother-in-law. And I preached Thursday night on the 1 Peter chapter 3 passage in verse 7.
Yes.
About dwell according to knowledge. And I talked about the tools and the tool that builds relationships. And my number one tool in that 1 Peter 3:7 was the tool of time. Dwell with them. In other words, live with them using the tool of time. And I had a ruler with me. I bought at an Amish hardware store in Ohio. And I clicked it down from 36 inches to 30 inches to 24 inches.
It's one of those fold-up rulers.
Yes, fold-up rulers. And I kept clicking down. And I said, when we were born, and I had each inch on that ruler represent 2 years of life. And I said, this is the allotted time God gives us in life. And according to Psalm 90, we are commanded to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. And if by reason of strength the days be more, yet the end is coming. And then I went from, I said, I clicked in 6 inches, childhood is gone. Then I clicked it again, teen years are gone, high school is gone. Clicked it again, now I'm in midlife. I clicked it again, now I'm
That's
48
powerful.
Years old. Clicked it again, now I'm 60 years old, and there was only one more click left in the allotted time.
You're literally watching your life click away.
Yes, and I made the statement that night. In fact, I was not even planning to preach on that night. I had another thing in mind, and going out of the door, I told my wife, I'm going to preach on tools tonight. And I grabbed my ruler on the way out the door. I switched almost midstream.
You know, it's amazing how the Spirit of God does that.
Yeah, and I believe in retrospect, it was the Lord's showing me. And I made the statement, do not assume the person sitting next to you in the morning chapel will be there when the sun goes down at night. I said, that's too much to assume because we cannot presume on the future. We expect to live a long time. And Dennis Pegram was 50 years old.
And in good health?
Good health. Worked out regularly, ran health food, did not abuse himself at all. Had a good workout routine, very disciplined regimen. But he got burdened about these unsaved men at the camp and really went out of his way. Well, on Friday afternoon, it was family basketball time. So dads were going out with their sons and daughters. They were playing. So Dennis invited this unsaved policeman from Illinois to come play ball. And he was tall, real good-looking guy, younger guy. And so obviously a good athlete. So before they got into the game, Dennis talked to the guy on the sidelines again before they went into the game about his soul condition. And then they went into play. And Dennis was coming down the court, went up for a rebound, and his soul kept on going and his body crumpled to the floor. That policeman to whom he had witnessed was the first one there to feel for pulse.
Wow.
And, of course, we had the defibrillator there. By law, we have to have that in our gym. Yeah. So it was instant.
So he was out on the court playing ball.
Yes.
With his kids. And right there on the court, just...
He collapsed. And the policeman said, it looked like he had twisted his ankle and went down.
Uh-huh.
He said, but he was motionless. He said, I felt the neck, and he was gone.
No pulse.
And they used a defibrillator. Uh-huh. Our nurse was there within a minute or two because it was only 30-second run across the field.
Yeah.
She was called instantly. But yet Dennis was with the Lord. And this policeman said, I was shook. He said, I'm trained for this. He said, but I've always prepared on the way to an accident or on the way to an emergency. Yeah. He said, but I was not prepared for this, especially since he had just talked to me.
Oh,
and he said, I don't talk to people. He said, he got more out of me in 5 minutes. He learned more about my life than I've ever shared about my life to anybody.
Wow.
But that night, my wife and I were coming back from town with her brother and sister-in-law, and I was preparing for that night's message. And our cell rang, and we get a call from the Coreys. And it said that one of the family campers has had a heart attack and he's on his way to the hospital. We had no idea how serious that was. But as we were coming down from Iron Mountain, we met the ambulance coming up and it wasn't speeding and it didn't have the siren on, but the lights were going. And I told Charlene, that means he's stabilized or he's gone. I don't know what the circumstance would have been.
Wow.
Well, we found out that he was gone.
Oh,
in fact, it must have been gone instantly. So we went back up to the hospital and... what an emotional time. We're hugging that wife and those children and then walking into that room
I can't even begin to
imagine.
Where
the dad was on the table, still in his gym clothes, but body there, but he was with the Lord. And my mind was rejoicing in the fact that the last act this man did on earth was witness, passionately trying to get an unsaved person to come to Christ. And that night, in fact, Ina told me, the wife, said after the morning chapel, said the last thing we did this morning is that Dennis held me after the morning chapel time. We prayed and thanked the Lord for the years that we had together, and we don't want to take for granted the time that we have. Of course, they obviously expected at least another 30 years together, 50 and in good health. And she said that was the last thing we did. And she said, you know, we do have that memory. That night I preached on death, and it was like surreal. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that this is real, but it's not real.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, we actually had two couples there.
I know. I met the families from your church. But I preached on death, and I said, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. I said, there's a restriction in death's blessing. It's not for everyone. Right. You can't stand by a coffin and say, why, he's in a better place. No, only if he knows Christ.
Right.
You cannot say he's in a better place and away from pain. That's restricted to those who die in Christ.
Right.
They shall rest from the labors. I said, there's a rest in death's blessing. And their works do follow them. I said, there's a reward in death's blessing. And I said, but this is only for those who die in the Lord.
Right.
And I gave an invitation, but not a hand raise or a come forward. But a lady did come forward sobbing, and she accepted Christ right at the altar.
Wow. Amen.
And I didn't ask for a show of hands, but I said, if you want to talk, and you, in your heart, you've prayed to accept Christ as your Savior, then you look me up. I said, we're, Dr. Pettit, myself, will be walking around. I went back over to campus and walked, and I was grabbed.
Just by people?
By people. And the big guy who said, this is not my idea of a family vacation, then the policeman and his wife, she was saved in the service in her seat. He accepted Christ 11:30 that night.
Oh, my goodness.
And here was this guy, this big, I teased him about being my bodyguard, and he was crying. He said, this man, my own father on earth, never hugged me. He said, why did this man love me so much? And he even hugged me after he talked with me.
Doc, thanks for sharing that. Boy, the Lord really gave you more than just a great story. He gave you a living illustration of the fact that every one of us can live this way. In fact, we ought to live this way.
Yes.
As usual today, over the last number of months, we have been offering Dr. Olala's devotional journal entitled Manna for those sending a donation of $10 or more. And you can order your copy or contact us at the address given here at the end of the broadcast. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you.